From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Although the midterm elections have been over for more than a week, in Florida, the races for governor and senator continue with a historic, contentious recount battle. The difference in votes between Ron DeSantis and Andrew Gillum for governor, and between Rick Scott and Bill Nelson for senator, are so close that they triggered automatic recounts. But because the initial vote counts were in favor of the Republican candidates, President Donald Trump is rattled over the possibility of Democrats winning the seats via the recount. Trump and his Republican colleagues have been tweeting and giving interviews claiming without evidence that Democrats are trying to, quote, steal the election, even though it is their efforts that amount to potential election theft. Trump supporters have been protesting in front of the Broward County Elections Supervisor Brenda Snipes' office, chanting, "Lock her up." Governor Rick Scott, who has a serious conflict of interest in counting votes for his Senate race, has launched 5 lawsuits against county election officials. Voting rights groups are now suing him, and the state Democratic Party has called on his recusal. The races that began with highly charged political campaigns now continue toward a tense finish whose outcome remains unknown. We go to Florida to speak with Andrea Cristina Mercado, Executive Director of New Florida Majority. She co-founded the National Domestic Workers Alliance, where she was the Director of Campaigns for 5 years. Welcome to the program, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
So I never thought I would say the words Florida election recount again, except talking about it in historic terms. Many news media are drawing comparisons to the presidential race in 2000, where Florida's votes were, you know, what was at stake. In what is happening now, is the issue of a recount, does that simply mean that votes that were cast are being recounted, or are there votes that were uncounted that are now being added to the tally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the state of Florida, we're it's very common for us to have elections with razor-thin margins. Governor Scott actually won his race with only 66,000 votes in a state with over 20 million people. And the fact that so many people could vote in an election, we had 8.1 million people voted on, I believe it's actually up to 8.3 million people who voted in the state of Florida in these midterm elections. That's much more people than voted in the California midterm this past Tuesday. Even though Florida is arguably half the size, we have half the population of the state of California. So we're seeing record-breaking turnout, and yet still the races are neck and neck. And in the state of Florida, a recount is triggered when it's less than half a percentage point difference. That triggers a machine recount. And we're seeing not one recount, but 3 recounts for statewide races, as well as some recounts in local races. So at the state level, there's a recount in the U.S. Senate race, there's a recount in the governor's race, and then there's a recount for the Commissioner of Agriculture.
Wow. So a third race as well, which is very, very unusual. So there's been a lot of talk about provisional ballots and mail-in ballots as far as, and, you know, there's contentions on both sides about, you know, uncounted ballots. What can you tell us about, say, mail-in ballots? Isn't there supposed to be a period of time, I understand something like 10 days after the election, during which ballots that were postmarked by election day can still be counted, et cetera?
Yes. In a democracy, it's fundamental that we count every vote. And the laws in the state of Florida clearly stipulate that every vote must be counted. And oftentimes those votes are counted after election day. What's so different this year is that the race is so close that each one of these votes really do make a difference and really do count. And so the day after the election, we were making sure, like across the state, there were thousands of volunteers making sure that if you were made to vote with a provisional ballot, that your ballot counted, that if you needed to sign an affidavit or show your proof of ID, that you did that. But, you know, what we're finding is there are so many ways that the right wing has tried to suppress the vote over years. Some of those they do through laws. Up until Tuesday, if you had a felony on your record, you were not allowed to vote even after completing all the terms of your sentence. That changed on Tuesday with the passage of Amendment 4, which is a historic victory, which we are so excited about. But there's still so many other ways that votes are suppressed in Florida. In Florida, you need to show a valid ID in order to vote. I spoke with an 86-year-old woman on Wednesday, the day after the election, who told me that she was forced to cast a provisional ballot because her driver's license was expired.
She might not be driving anymore, so why would she?
There's so many ways that votes are suppressed. We also have vote by mail signature no match. If you mail in your vote by mail and the signature doesn't match supposedly what's on file, they won't count your ballot. And there are cases of very high profile people, former elected officials, whose ballots were thrown out because the signature didn't match. I think this is a real moment to unmask voter suppression that's been happening in the state for generations. And right now we're just fighting for every vote to be counted in these races. And the fact that, you know, President Trump, Marco Rubio, Governor Scott, who obviously has a dog in the fight, are calling voter fraud is really horrifying. I mean, counting every vote is just fundamental to our democracy.
I mean, Trump basically said that it's no longer possible. In fact, let me quote the tweet that he put out on Monday night. He said the Florida election on Monday morning, he said the Florida election should be called in favor of Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis in that large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere and many ballots are missing or forged. And then he said an honest vote count is no longer possible. Ballots massively infected must go with election night. He made several assertions there, and sometimes it's futile to even bother trying to parse whether the president is telling the truth or not. But as far as you understand, what does he mean by saying large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere? Is he referring to the story that some people have been passing around about a mail center in Opal Loca, I believe, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, where there were claims that large numbers of provisional ballots were found sitting in boxes?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's making baseless claims. He's trying to assert that Supervisor Snipes, who was appointed by a Republican, she was appointed by Jeb Bush, that, you know, the supervisor of elections in Broward County is trying to steal votes. It's baseless. It's unfounded. Rick Scott called for the Department of Elections in the state of Florida to look into voter fraud. And the department came back and said unequivocally, there have been no cases of voter fraud. On the contrary, the only place where we really see things that are clearly illegal happening is in a red county. It's in Bay County, where against all guidance, against specific instructions not to, the supervisor of elections allowed people to email in their ballots post the recent hurricane, when, you know, obviously we knew it was important to extend early voting and create other allowances for people who were impacted by the hurricane. But the state law was very clear that email ballots should not be accepted. And they accepted hundreds of these ballots in a predominantly red county. And it's not surprising that, you know, Trump's not speaking out about that, nor is Rick Scott. And instead, they remain focused on Broward County, some of the, you know, the counties that trend much more heavily Democratic, where, you know, we're one of the largest counties in the state, and are doing the due diligence to make sure that every vote by mail, every overseas ballot is counted in an election.
Don't the overseas ballots include military, active duty military, sending in their ballots? And Trump, who claims he's so pro-military, is basically saying don't count those votes a day after Veterans Day?
It's truly like disgusting, and it's a real assault on our very democracy. And I think, oftentimes what happens in Florida has national implications, and we're really concerned about what this is going to mean for 2020. How Trump would react to his own defeat in 2020, and other Republican elected officials. I mean, it's really so critical at this time for everyone who believes in our democracy to stand up and reject, not only reject hate and xenophobia and so much of other of the toxic political discourse in this moment, but also to stand up to defend our very democracy.
Trump also said that there were ballots that were massively infected. What that means, who knows? I mean, it's not like ballots can catch a virus. Images of Trump supporters outside the Broward County election supervisor's office they are akin to a lynch mob. It's a group of largely white, MAGA hat wearing Trumpsters chanting the same chant that they screamed at Hillary Clinton, lock her up. And they're doing this because they think that this African-American election official is somehow trying to mess with the votes in heavily Democratic, and as you said, heavily Democratic counties of Broward County and Palm Beach counties, but she's the Broward County election supervisor. But what is the possibility that that could even happen? Aren't there lots of people inside these places where the votes are being recounted that are going through the recounts? If there was some sort of massive conspiracy, it wouldn't just be Brenda Snipes. It would have to involve like dozens of people working to like figure out which were the GOP ballots and toss them.
I mean, a recount is a legal process. And right now we're in a machine recount. And then we're going to move to a manual recount for any election that was less than a quarter of a percentage point difference. And that means that lawyers from both, lawyers from every side and volunteers will be able to observe the process. It's an open, transparent, fair process, and one of the hallmarks of our democracy. And essentially in that manual recount, if a machine has picked up that someone has voted for two candidates in the same election or did not vote for a candidate in election, it's manually inspected to make sure if there was clear voter intent. I think that process is very important. And outside of the Broward SOE, what we see is white supremacists and vigilantes who are trying to undermine democracy. And, we were out there in Broward County. Broward County is my home. And we were out there and we were subject to racial epithets. We were pushed, kicked. The level of hatred is overwhelming at times. Wow. And yet we stand firm to defend democracy. We reject hate. And really, we are calling for a radical vision of belonging. And that's why Andrew Gillum's race was so inspiring to so many of us. And why we will continue to make sure that every last vote is counted, because this is our state, our home, our community, and it has we're defending democracy for our entire nation.
Is it possible? I was reading somewhere that, and you can tell me if you think this is accurate, that that mail-in ballots, provisional ballots, tend to be disproportionately Democratic because it's generally of a more transient population, such as college students or, for example, seniors whose licenses might have expired. The more sort of geographically stable population tends to vote Republican. So, for example, we saw the Senate race in Arizona flip where we had the initial vote count showing the Republican candidate Martha McSally winning. But when all of the votes were counted, those provisional ballots, those mail-in ballots just were more Democratic. And so Kyrsten Sinema ended up winning that race. Do you think that that might be true in Florida?
I don't believe that that's true in Florida. In Florida, we have a large population of seniors, many of whom tend to vote by mail. I'd have to check the numbers again to see in recent elections how the vote by mail has broken down. But what we do know is that, every vote should be counted, and that, whether you voted by mail or whether you went to your polling place and were told you had to vote with a provisional ballot, if you took the time to participate in our democracy, we want to make sure that that vote is counted. And especially in a race this close, when we're talking about a quarter of a percentage point or half of a percentage point in a state with over 20 million people, it's absolutely our honor, our integrity, everything is riding on making sure that this election is fair, transparent, and accessible.
There was a headline in New York Magazine. I'm assuming the headline was a little tongue-in-cheek, but to me it said it all. Quoting Marco Rubio, "The Democrats are trying to steal Florida Senate race by counting all the votes." But essentially, it seems like that's what the GOP is asserting. No, let's just go with the election night tally because that one favors us. And if we count all the votes, that's election theft, which just blows my mind, especially given what you were saying earlier about the fact that in one heavily red county, they were allowing emailed ballots. I can only imagine the GOP reaction if emailed ballots were allowed anywhere that benefited a Democrat.
That's right. And I mean, you mentioned it earlier. I mean, I think in 2000, we saw what it looks like to truly steal an election. Many of us still carry that historical trauma, and our nation has definitely paid the price. And in this moment, I think what's challenging is not only that it harkens back to that moment, but with a political discourse that's even more virulent, with a racism that is unmasked and unapologetic. And, you know, everyone who believes in our democracy, who believes that we need to stand up for one another, we really encourage you to do what you can from where you are to support us. It's, you know, we have organizers out there who were knocking on thousands of doors this year. And we're looking forward to some celebration and rest this week, and are still going. We're running on fumes down here, but we really can feel the support of our brothers and sisters around the country and around the world who support us in making sure that every last vote is counted.
When is the race expected to wrap up? What's the official deadline to meet the recount?
Mm-hmm. So this Thursday, the automatic machine recount should be finalized. At which point they'll call for the manual recount for races that are less than a quarter of a percentage point apart. That manual recount is set to be finished by November 18th, and all the elections will be officially certified on November 20th. But we're truly heading into uncharted territory, and several counties have already said that they don't think that they'll meet the machine recount deadline, let alone the manual recount deadline. So I think we should expect that this will drag on for a few more weeks yet.
And now your organization, New Florida Majority, is in many ways the kind of organization we're seeing popping up in states around the country where voters of color, diverse electorates are realizing that we have the political power, we have the numbers now to reshape the political system in order to actually benefit us, because for far too long, low-income communities of color have been left out of the political process and thereby left out of society, left behind in society. With the new voters that presumably you will have for the 2020 race as a result of Amendment 4 passing, how do you expect the Florida political landscape to change even more? And I expect the GOP to put up, or conservative forces to put up, an even greater fight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. At New Florida Majority, we're an independent political organization, and we're building power 365 days a year. It's not just about elections for us. This is about community power that's exercised year round. We truly, in this election, Andrew Gillum proved that candidates running on a transformative platform that can connect with communities and excite communities of color and young people and women and progressives can win in Florida. You know, this election is still too close to call, but over 250,000 people who did not vote in 2016, they didn't vote in an election year, they came out and voted this year in this midterm election. So our electorate is growing. Our movement is absolutely growing stronger. And we believe that in 2020, the forces for justice, for racial equity, for gender justice and immigrant rights will absolutely prevail. If we have candidates that are running on an unapologetic people's platform and an economic justice message, and Andrew Gillum got more votes. He almost got more votes. He's not only gotten more votes than any other candidate for governor in recent history. He almost has more votes than the last two gubernatorial candidates combined.
Wow.
So I think this really makes the case for Democrats not running to the center and not running moderate or Republican light candidates, but actually running people who are unafraid to speak out for transformative policies and progressive values.
Give out a website for your organization where people can follow the work you do. Are you tweeting about the recount as well? Because it's, you know, sometimes it's better to get information directly from the source on the ground.
Yeah, if folks want to join us, they can look at newfloridamajority.org. That's newfloridamajority.org. Or you can follow us on Twitter, newflmajority. Again, that's at newflmajority.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Andrea, good luck to you. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you get some rest in the next few days.
We will not rest until it's done, but we thank you for your solidarity and support.
My guest has been Andrea Cristina Mercado. She's the executive director of New Florida Majority. She previously co-founded the National Domestic Workers Alliance, where she was the director of campaigns for 5 years. We've been discussing the Florida election recounts for the governor and Senate races. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.